This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Beethoven's Second Symphony had its premiere in 1803 at a concert that could never take place today. In addition to the symphony, it included the premieres of the Third Piano Concerto and the oratorio Christ on the Mount of Olives. And by the time the concert finally began, the musicians had been rehearsing since 8 in the morning, and Beethoven had been up since before 5, copying out trombone parts. His friend Ignaz von Seyfried turned pages for him in the concerto and was beside himself at the fact that most of the pages were blank. Beethoven played it from memory, since he hadn't had time to write it all down, and he had a good laugh about the whole thing later that night over dinner. Which may have been one of the few lighthearted moments he experienced in that very difficult year. In fact, it was at this time that he wrote what is known as his Heiligenstadt Testament, a letter to his brothers in which he rails at his growing deafness and seems to be contemplating suicide. But Beethoven also knew that it was time for him to, as he put it, seize fate by the throat, and that year of 1802 turned out to be an amazingly prolific one for him. It was also the year that he began telling his friends that it was time to set out on a fresh path, the path that would lead a year later to the revolutionary Third Symphony, the Eroica. Beethoven's Second Symphony, though, suggests new possibilities of breadth and range right from the introduction. Up to this point, there had been nothing like it for sheer size, though it does have a model in Mozart's Prague Symphony. This Adagio Molto is not only spacious, but varied, compressing an enormous amount of drama into just a few notes, taking large and bold harmonic risks, and introducing a range of musical characters, from the sweetly lyrical to the stern unison fortissimo on D minor, that he used so effectively 20 years later in the Ninth Symphony. After mounting suspense, the introduction suddenly spills into a quick and energetic opening movement, with even a slightly ferocious edge. Music proceeds in a mixture of innocence and unpredictability. This section also has a broad plan, something that might not be immediately noticeable because of the quick tempo. The leisurely larghetto introduces a sweetness that is new to Beethoven's language. It's in rondo form, with the theme returning after each excursion. There's even a minor key variation. And sections that look forward to his 5th and 6th symphonies. In the 1st and 2nd movements, Beethoven worked on a grand scale. The 3rd movement is comparatively compact. In his 1st symphony, Beethoven still called his very fast 3rd movement a minuet. In the 2nd, he uses the word scherzo for the first time. Scherzo is Italian for joke, but the joke is on the minuet. It was already becoming archaic as a dance, and hardly anyone would ever use it in a symphony again. There's a section here that looks forward as well. Brahms lifted it for his 2nd serenade. There is a popular description of Beethoven as shaking his fist at fate in his Symphony No. 5. In the 2nd symphony, he starts the finale by thumbing his nose. With this two-note flick up high, followed by a rather dismissive growl down below, Beethoven sets the stage for all kinds of comic possibilities. Beethoven's one-time teacher, Haydn, had established his symphonic model as two broad and expansively argued movements, followed by two shorter and lighter ones. Beethoven sticks to this model up to this point, but in the finale, he has something different in mind. He brings out a little theme that he's been keeping hidden, and it propels the movement into a coda that grows like a genie let out of the bottle. In fact, it grows to a point where it accounts for more than a third of the entire movement, once again turning convention on its head. One of the few things Beethoven would admit to having learned from Haydn was the humor of the unexpected. The reception for Beethoven's 2nd symphony was mixed. Reviewers complained that it was not only not as good as his first, but that his attempts to try new things were much too obvious and forced. But he was trying new things. We tend to think of his 3rd symphony, the Eroica, as Beethoven's great breakthrough, but there is actually less distance between his 2nd and 3rd symphonies than there is between the 2nd and 1st. Beethoven was already well on his way to defining the new romantic era in music. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.